Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Russia Hoax, The Illicit Scheme to Clear Hillary Clinton and Frame Donald Trump, is a political nonfiction book by Greg Jarrett that argues the Trump-Russia collusion narrative was not a neutral investigation, but a politically driven effort shaped by Clinton allies, federal officials, and sympathetic media coverage. Written in a legal and prosecutorial style, the book tries to reframe the 2016 election controversy by focusing on alleged abuses of power inside the FBI, DOJ, and intelligence community. Jarrett presents the book as both a critique of the Russia investigation and an indictment of how government institutions can be used in partisan conflict. The work is aimed at readers interested in conservative political analysis, election controversies, and legal arguments about official misconduct. Its purpose is less to tell a balanced history of the 2016 race than to build a case that the collusion story was manufactured, sustained, and politically useful to Trump's opponents. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Jarrett's central claim, the collusion narrative, was a politically manufactured hoax. The book's core argument is that the widespread allegation of Trump campaign collusion with Russia was not supported by credible evidence and was instead promoted as a political weapon. Jarrett treats the story as a deliberate construct that helped turn an election defeat into a continuing attack on the incoming president. He frames the issue not as a genuine intelligence mystery, but as a narrative assembled from speculation, opposition research, and selective media reporting. This matters because the book is built around reversing the usual premises, instead of asking whether Trump was too close to Russia. Jarrett asks who benefited from keeping the collusion allegation alive. That framing gives the book its urgency and explains why it repeatedly returns to the idea of deception rather than misunderstanding. Readers are pushed to see the controversy as an orchestrated campaign, not an accidental misreading of events. Secondly, how the book turns the FBI and DOJ into the main targets of the story. A major part of the book is its focus on institutional misconduct, especially inside the FBI and Department of Justice. Jarrett argues that officials used government authority in ways that compromised fairness, due process, and constitutional protections. Rather than treating these agencies as neutral referees, he describes them as participants in a partisan struggle that distorted investigative standards. This institutional angle is important because it broadens the book beyond campaign politics and turns it into a critique of bureaucratic power. The alleged errors and decisions of figures, such as James Comey, are not presented as isolated mistakes. They are treated as evidence of a system willing to bend rules for political ends. By emphasizing official conduct, the book tries to persuade readers that the real scandal was not foreign collusion, but the use of law enforcement mechanisms against a political opponent. Thirdly, the role of Hillary Clinton, opposition research, and the Steele dossier. The book places heavy emphasis on Hillary Clinton's campaign and allied actors, especially in relation to opposition research and the Steele dossier. Jarrett argues that Clinton and her supporters helped generate and circulate damaging claims about Trump in order to shift attention away from her own email controversy and legal vulnerabilities. In this telling, the dossier becomes a crucial link between campaign strategy and government action, because unverified material allegedly helped justify official scrutiny of Trump. The importance of this section is that it gives the book a clear causal chain. Political motive leads to research. Research becomes narrative, and the narrative then enters the machinery of state power. Jarrett uses that chain to argue that the scandal was not merely partisan rhetoric, but an organized effort to frame a rival, whether readers accept that conclusion or not. The book clearly depends on connecting campaign tactics to public institutions in order to show how a political story can be converted into an investigative crisis. Fourthly, a legal brief style that relies on statutes, felonies, and procedural critique. Jarrett writes like a lawyer building a case rather than like a historian balancing competing interpretations. The book repeatedly cites laws, official duties, and potential felony violations to show that the controversy should be understood through legal accountability. This gives the work a distinctive method it tries to move the reader from political suspicion to actionable wrongdoing. Instead of resting on broad accusation, Jarrett presents the issue as a sequence of decisions that allegedly violated specific legal and constitutional norms. That style is central to the book's identity because it gives the narrative an evidentiary feel, even when the underlying conclusions are highly contested. The emphasis on statutes also helps explain why the book appealed to readers looking for an argument that could be used as a roadmap for prosecution or institutional reform. Its strength is clarity of accusation. Its weakness is that the force of the argument depends heavily on accepting Jarrett's interpretation of complex events and legal standards. Lastly, the book's broader warning about media amplification and democratic trust. Beyond the immediate Trump-Clinton dispute, the book is also a warning about how media narratives can harden into political reality when institutions and journalists stop questioning them. Jarrett argues that the press helped amplify the collusion story and gave it legitimacy before the evidence had been established. This makes the book less about one election than about the fragility of public trust in a polarized environment. If media organizations repeat claims uncritically and government agencies act with partisan bias, the result is a system that can damage legitimacy even without proving the original allegation. That concern gives the book broader relevance in discussions of misinformation, institutional accountability, and democratic instability. It also explains why the book reads as both a political defense of Trump and a structural critique of modern power networks. Its larger message is that once suspicion is institutionalized, it can become difficult to correct, even if the underlying case remains weak or unproven. In conclusion, the Russia hoax will be most useful to readers who want to understand a strong conservative rebuttal to the Trump-Russia collusion narrative, and who are interested in how legal argument can be used to recast a major political scandal. It is especially relevant for readers studying partisan media, institutional trust, and the post-2016 battle over the legitimacy of federal investigations. The book offers practical value as a case study in persuasion. It shows how one author can combine legal language, political critique, and institutional suspicion into a single argument designed to challenge mainstream coverage. What distinguishes it from many other books in the same genre is its prosecutorial tone and its insistence that the real wrongdoing was on the side of the investigators earned. Political operatives, not the target of the investigation. Readers looking for balance will likely find it one-sided, but readers looking for a clear example of a forceful counter-narrative will find it significant. Its importance lies less in consensus than in how sharply it captures the arguments made by Trump defenders about the Russia controversy. If you would like to support Greg Jarrett, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.